All the pastors of the diocese received a letter from Bishop Desautel earlier this week, asking us to have a head count of how many people are coming to Mass each weekend throughout the months of May and October. So beginning next weekend, we're going to start our head counts here at Queen of All Saints. The way that we're going to do that is I'm going to have like a little bowl, a little dish of pennies at each of the doors. So here at the church door, there'll be one, and over on that credenza in the back, there'll be one as well. And ask that as you all come into the church, you simply take a penny and put it into the other container, like another bowl we have or a tumbler or whatever it's going to be, to count everybody. So please do not take the pennies home with you, as we need those to count the congregation. But keep that in mind as you enter Mass next week, if you make the sign of the cross, to drop your penny and be counted. During the Second World War, St. Teresa Benedict of the Cross, who was a German Carmelite nun, formerly known as Edith Stein, also had been a professor of philosophy and a Jewish convert to the Catholic faith, wrote this. St. Teresa Benedicta says, "In the last few months, one has often heard the complaint that the many prayers for peace are still without effect. What right have we to be heard? Our desire for peace is undoubtedly genuine and sincere, but does it come from a completely purified heart?" Those are bold words. Remember, as I said, she was a Jewish convert in Germany during World War II. She's praying for her own people who are being massacred, and she's praying for peace, as are so many people throughout Europe. But people are saying, "We pray and nothing happens." But what right do we have to be heard? Our desire for peace is undoubtedly genuine and sincere, but does it come from a completely purified heart? I think of our own day, where news reports tell us of senseless tragedy after senseless tragedy, and we see so much human suffering in the world being perpetrated by other human beings or suffering perpetrated by nature herself. Personally, in our own lives, we find all kinds of suffering. We're beset by different sorts of problems, difficulties, misfortunes, illnesses, etc. And oftentimes, like St. Teresa, I'll hear the same complaint coming from many people who come to see me. "Father, I pray and I pray and I pray and I pray, and it seems like nothing ever happens." And I agree with St. Teresa. Yes, our needs are certainly real. Our desires are undoubtedly genuine. But are our prayers truly sincere, and are our prayers coming from a purified heart? In other words, when we pray, do we really mean it, and do we really want only what God Himself wants, or do we want what we want ourselves? Is our trust totally and unreservedly in Him, or do we put our trust in human beings only, including ourselves? Do we actually want things to be His way, or do we want things to be done our way? Are we praying with detachment and abandon, letting God be God, and we accept all things that come, seeing that whatever comes is there for our own good, either by God's goodwill or by His divine permission, whether we consider it to be good or bad? Now, I'm not saying here that we have to be fatalists, leaving everything simply to chance. Remember this: God does not only do things for us, but God also does things with us. He doesn't just do things for us, but He also does things with us. And we have to make up our own minds to get up off of our pity pots and get to work doing something good. As we heard so many times growing up, God helps those who help themselves. But it's all done by an act of His grace. Even St. Paul reminds us that salvation must be worked out. We are saved by grace, most definitely. We're saved by faith. But that grace has to be put into action. That faith must be manifested by good deeds. Works of faith, works of charity, which have as their aim the glory of God and the good of our neighbor. Our works of faith, our works of charity can never have some selfish desire as a motive, personal satisfaction, human praise, being validated by other people or reward. It's not why we do anything at all. And that is precisely where the purification comes in, the pruning that Jesus spoke of in the gospel, that we would be purified of every selfish desire and every rotten fruit of sin, that you and I can flourish in grace and produce good fruit, to produce the fruits of holiness. As Saint Teresa said, only in this fashion can our prayers be heard and be granted as they should be. After all, don't we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Being a Carmelite, I'm sure that Saint Teresa Benedicta had the words of Saint John of the Cross in mind. And Saint John of the Cross said that God must place the souls of the imperfect in the dark night so as to purify them of their imperfections and make them advance. I'll say that again. That God must place the souls of the imperfect in the dark night so as to purify them of their imperfections and make them advance in holiness. So, as you go about your life, you go around all the while trying to do good, working for God, loving your spouse, loving your kids, fulfilling your daily duties, you're working hard, you're fulfilling obligations and doing everything to the best of your ability, but at the same time, you're experiencing a struggle, you find yourself suffering, or you feel abandoned by God, or that your prayers aren't being heard, rejoice. What? Yes, rejoice. Why? This is all an act of participation in the cross of Christ, through which we have been redeemed, and these things bring about grace and holiness and peace if we don't keep fighting against it. In the midst of all these things, one of two things is happening. Either we're being purified of pride and self-love, the source of every sin, or we have been chosen by God to share in the sufferings of Christ and to offer ourselves with Christ as a sacrifice for other souls. Both of those things are good. Either way, grace is at work. But it's not going to be seen as a grace unless we look at these things through the eyes of faith and the light of the resurrection. As the scriptures remind us, we are cast down, but at the same time we're raised up. Dying to ourselves, we have life in Christ, and in this way he lives in us. Therefore, with a fervent act of the will, we must reject anything and everything that is not of Christ. As Jesus says, "If you remain in me, and my words, my commandments, everything about me remains in you, then ask for whatever you want, and it will be given to you." If you remain in me, my words, my commandments remain in you, ask for what you want, and it will be given. But your heart, your mind, your will, by the power of the Spirit that he gave us, must be in union with the heart, with the mind, with the will of Christ. As we heard Psalm 22 say so beautifully, "I will fulfill my vows, my promises, before all those who fear the Lord. The humble, the lowly, shall then eat their fill, and those who seek the Lord shall praise him." As Jesus says, "By this is my Father glorified, that you become disciples in deed, in truth, in love. This is the glorification of my Father, that you become my disciples in deed, in truth, and in love, and that you bear much good fruit."